Coming up, it's At the Closing Table, the podcast where Ariel and Ashley talk all things real estate, from local market trends to first-time buyer tips and the stories behind every sold sign. New episodes drop the first Saturday of every month. Catch them all on the Reggae Rocks app or at reggaerockstx.com under the podcast tab. Now, let's head to the closing table.
Hello, everyone. This is Ashley Pfeiffer.
And Ariel Brooke Stevens.
And you're listening to At the Closing Table with Ariel and Ashley.
We are excited today, although we don't have a guest.
So we have to say
that we're not attorneys, financial planners,
advisors, lenders. There's a whole lot of things that we aren't. We're still trying to determine what we are. How about that?
That's right, because when we grow up,
we're going to be something.
So how you been?
Good. How about you?
Good. It's crazy time.
It is crazy time.
Crazy, crazy.
Yep. Our youngest made it through their first year of college.
Yes. Woohoo.
Oh, woohoo.
And now they're home.
And now they're home. What are we having for dinner at start?
Or oh,
how much laundry can two additional people in a home create?
So myself, my husband, and my youngest, who's still at home, we actually had a sit-down meeting to talk about how we were going to manage laundry now that they're back.
It's a thing.
Because they came back from time to time, and they always brought their laundry, but they stayed just a couple days.
Yeah.
And they left. The other part was the food. You're right. Because we made a 5-pack of chicken for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And the one twin that arrived first ate 3 pieces by himself.
Ah, it's good times.
Yes. And we're sitting around looking at each other like, where's the leftovers?
Right? Yeah, I mean, this is first world problems. I get that.
Yes.
But it is, you know, you get used to running a house with 2 people.
Yes.
And now all of a sudden you exponentially expand that. And you're, I mean, it's like you're out of shape. You're out of shape for cooking. You're out of shape for laundry. You're out. And so I told both of my boys, we had to sit down and I was like, look, do not think I'm going to cook. Do not think I'm going to do your laundry. I'm out. I have things, you know, I feel like I'm more busy now than I ever was when they were home because, you know, we came home, we had dinner, we had all the things. Well, now that they're not here, there's no reason to go home.
That's right.
So Rick and I are out partying like we're freaking rock stars all the time.
That's so awesome.
And so I told the boys, I was like, look, we're not cooking. And my oldest was like, at all? I was like, I've cooked 2 meals since December. Yeah, no, at all. I'm not cooking.
That's awesome. Well, and mine have done their laundry since they were like 10. So they can do it. It's the time that the laundry, like the washing machine is in use.
Yeah.
It's been one day
since
everybody's back.
And it's going 24/7.
24/7.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm excited that they're back, but it's a little shock and awe.
Well, I think, you know, my oldest is 22, and I think he came back thinking, you know, that he was going to be on vacay for the summer because he hasn't been home for a couple of different, you know, couple of summers. He's taking classes and whatnot, and so he thought he was going to come home, and I was going to do his laundry, and I was going to cook and all the things, and I was like, oh, we need to put a kibosh on that.
Yes.
Like, right off the bat. Not happening.
I remember what it felt like to come home from college, and you're like, oh.
Right?
Yes.
I'm done adulting for 3 months.
Exactly.
I've got 3 months where somebody will take care of everything.
Exactly. I'm going to do that again.
Myself. But my mother lives in my backyard.
I know.
Maybe I'll just go over there and stay.
That's awesome.
You go deal with your grandchildren.
Well, I have some clients right now that I'm working with who have younger kids. And I find myself wanting to give, like, the unsolicited advice about maybe you shouldn't choose this house because you have no idea what's coming down the pipeline
exactly.
with how busy you're going to be. Yeah.
Yes.
I have to keep it to myself.
When I close these young kids and I see, you know, oh, they don't have kids or they've got one, I always want to say, okay, make sure you space them college-wise far enough apart, you know?
Yes, and they're like, shut your mouth.
Yeah.
You're not my mom.
And I'm like, you start those 529 plans the day before they're born.
Exactly.
Don't wait till they're born.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
those
kind of things. And I know that those young kids are just rolling their eyes, but I'm like, man, if you listen to nothing else.
It's true. It's true.
These are hard things.
Yeah.
Learn from my mistakes.
Well, and some of them you just have to make yourself. But yeah,
it'll
be a fun summer. It'll be a crazy
summer. It might be a
summer.
Long summer.
So we've all talked about the dumpster fire that was 2025. And I look back now going, oh, I did not take advantage of the time I had last summer.
Absolutely.
Because I felt like it was so busy with them graduating from high school and all the things. And
getting them into college and ready and getting them moved to college.
Yes.
And, I mean, it's a whole thing.
it was kind of a mm-hmm. like more than part-time job for a yeah. little bit. But
and then you have all that sadness and you don't realize,
yeah,
you know, you think, I mean, yes, your life is going to change, but you know, we all go through it and you yeah. just, you know, you get through it. Now here we are. Now we're complaining. I'm not complaining that they're back. Do not get me wrong. I love nothing more than us all to be in the same
yes.
house.
Yes.
You know, but it is an adjustment for them, for us, for everybody involved.
Yeah.
But it's still fun. I still love it.
It is fun. It is fun. And I'm so grateful to be busy with work too. So
right. Exactly.
Everybody needs to just get out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
So, hey, did you hear Bravo has a show coming to Bernie?
Boy, did I.
What a buzz that thing has created.
Oh my gosh. It's like we can't get any work done because everybody's calling and sending us memes and doing all the things with
it. I will tell you that it has been a hot minute since I felt like we had so much news going on in Bernie.
I know.
And from like totally unrelated friend groups and people with different interests, everybody wants to talk about that.
Yes.
And then throw in that the school district purchased some property and they might be moving Bernie Middle School north. And people are like, no, we don't like change. But it's only Wednesday and it's been a week.
It has been a week. Yes. That whole Bravo thing. My goodness gracious.
So I hear a rumor that you're going to be in it.
Yeah. That's not even funny. Yeah, oh my gosh. I can't even imagine. I really can't imagine. I've seen a couple of lists of who supposedly is going to be in it. I don't know.
You know what I've wondered? Is if it's all fake news.
You know?
Like, how funny would that be? I mean, if it's legitimate people who are rumored to be in the show, like, who already are.
But if you look on the Bravo website, it's actually on there, and they talk about it.
Yeah, I just had that little conspiracy theory moment where I was like, they've got this town so riled up.
Yeah, maybe so.
And
I don't know.
These ladies who are already pretty famous social media-wise, they just got a lot more famous, and then they don't even have to do the show.
Oh, I guess that's true. I mean, that could very well be.
Who knows?
Who knows is right. But boy, howdy, has it provided lots of fodder around here.
Oh my
gosh. Quite the excitement.
Oh my gosh. Well, one of the things we're going to talk today, which doesn't sound exciting at all, is fraud. But I will tell you that it came from a very exciting experience. We won't give details exactly on all the experience, but I think our guest, Donna Terrell, who was here in December, kind of chirped a little bit about the potential possibility of foreclosures coming or distressed properties coming as interest rates kind of stayed where they were. But we're seeing a lot of folks who maybe they can afford their mortgage, but with gas prices and increased insurance and groceries are so much, like they're going to lose their house, not because of the market, but because of the economy.
On a side note, you know, I'm right across the street from the courthouse, right?
Yeah.
So the first Tuesday of every month is when they do the courthouse, you know, sale, foreclosure sale and whatnot. And so the first Tuesday of this month, I came out of my office to do something. I was like, what is going on at the courthouse? Guess what it was? I haven't seen that many people over there in a long time. So something was going on. Now, I didn't go over there to, you know, nosy neighbor it, but I will tell you that either we have two options when you've got that many people. Number one, there was some good property that they really thought was going to go.
Right.
Or number two, there was multiple properties. So I really probably should have gone over and checked it out. But again, I try not to be too nosy.
I would have been super curious because I hope we don't find it because obviously nobody wants fraud. Nobody wants people scammed out of their money, all of that. But I came across a property that was grossly underpriced. Not distressed in a typical way for it to be grossly underpriced. And it was potentially purchased, we'll just say it was purchased on a Monday and put back on the market on a Wednesday, and all those red flags started flying. So Ashley and I had a conversation because I had some clients who were interested in it, and that sort of opened Pandora's box, not just with our conversation about how do we help protect our people, how do we help protect ourselves.
Right.
But then talking with other agents, I think it's not that it's happening a lot because we're in a little bit of a bubble here in the Hill Country. But I think we need to be prepared that it won't be like 2008, but it is coming.
Well, so I have three fraud stories to share. Not one, not two, but three. And so I just kind of wanted, you know, to talk about what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. And before I really talk about the seller impersonation fraud, which is, I think, what everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
You know, there's those commercials on TV. Oh, you know, get this insurance so you don't get your title stolen and all of that. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But mm-hmm. before we go there, I want to talk about wire fraud.
Okay.
Because I think we all have heard, you know, we know somebody who knows somebody that it's happened to, that kind of thing. But what I don't know is that if everybody really understands that it's right here in Little Bernie, Texas, oh, that it's happening.
Yes.
So maybe I have four stories. Okay. So the first thing, when I talk about wire fraud, I want to tell you a story before it got as prevalent as it was. One day I had got a phone call from a local bank and they were like, hey, we had some wire fraud and, you know, we've worked with you for a long time. So we want to call you as a title company and mm-hmm. ask what you think the liability is for the title company. Hmm. Okay. So let me give you the scenario. Here's what happened. So let's say whoever it is, Ariel is buying a house. Mm-hmm. She gets the wire instructions from somebody. We don't know where she gets the wire instructions from. Mm-hmm. That's not, as the bank, that's not their job, right?
Right.
Then Ariel takes these wire instructions and goes into the bank. And the bank makes her sign off that, yes, this is the amount of money I want. This is where I want them sent. Mm-hmm. Yes, everything is right. Okay, send my money. So the bank sends the money and those wire instructions were no good. Mm-hmm. So the bank was calling me to say, okay, the title company gave them the wrong instructions. What liability do they have? Well, guess what? The title company did not give them those instructions. Mm-hmm. A fraudster mm-hmm. gave them those instructions. They did not call the title company to verify that the title company had changed their wire instructions, which we don't change wire instructions. So, it you know, that's how fraudsters happen.
Yeah.
So if you back this story up, and you look at where did those wire instructions come from, the title company had sent everything to these people, right? And then they got a separate email mm-hmm. from what looked to be their realtor, not even the title company,
yeah.
what looked to be their realtor. So let's say their realtor was Minnie Mouse dot real property. Mm-hmm. It was Minnie Mouse real property, no dot. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it looked super legit unless you really knew the email backwards and forwards. And it said, hey, the title company called me and they said, these are the new wire instructions. Use this to get your money to them. Mm-hmm. So the people, instead of calling to confirm all this, they didn't talk to their agent. They didn't talk to the title company.
Oh,
they
wow.
just took those wire instructions to their bank and they said, wire the money here. And they signed off on it and they did it. Well, then when it didn't get where it was supposed to, they went back to the bank and tried to say, hey, bank, it's your fault.
Right.
It can't be the bank's fault. You told them where to send it.
Right.
Can't be the title company. The title company sent you good wire instructions. You didn't use those wire instructions. You used the ones that came from,
right.
you know, whoever else.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is one fairly scary story.
Yeah.
That I was not involved in. I just got the phone call because they were like, look, what, you know, we can't be responsible for this, but we're not sure where to point the finger.
Right.
Which I was like, look, I want no, I got no skin in this game.
Lose my number.
Yeah. I don't even want to talk about whose fault this is. No, thank you. But I thought that that was interesting. And that literally was here in Bernie. So then here is the one that we had, and it is so very similar. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
So the difference is, you know, that if you are sending stuff out over the internet, it is always scary because you don't know who's intercepting it.
Right.
So in this case, we had a couple that did not want us to email them the documents that they were going to execute. They wanted us to send a mobile notary. Which is wonderful, right?
Yeah.
When we have a mobile notary, we upload the documents to a secure portal. They print them out. We know it's all secure. We send our wire instructions in there, all of that, right?
Yeah.
So the mobile notary meets with the customers. That she gives them the wire instructions, which we had actually already given them, and we don't have the last four digits on there because of wire fraud, and we don't have our phone number on there, so that somebody can't change the phone number, right? So the idea is once they get the wire instructions, then they call us, we give them the last four digits, and then we all talk, right? So we know them, they know us, you know, everything's
right.
copacetic. And in this case, it didn't even go out over the internet. So all of that happens. Well, they go to wire their money, and about an hour before, they get an email from what looks to be their agent. They don't spoof us, really.
Oh, the agents.
It's always the agents. Mm-hmm. From their agent, and hey, use these wire instructions, blah, blah, blah. And so they printed them out and they went to the bank. And as he was getting ready to wire the money, he thought, wait a minute, this property is in Texas. Why are these wire instructions shouldn't be for California?
Uh-huh. Good job, pumpkin.
Good job, good job. So they called, and we were like, no, that is not right. Oh, yeah. Wow. In fact, they called the agent, who then called me, and, you know, anyway, so it did not, you know, it was caught prior to, but, I mean, what if he hadn't thought of that, or what, there's just so, I mean, it's just so rampant and so very scary.
It's happened in our office.
Yeah.
It was a cash purchase, mm-hmm. and thank goodness the client called and said, hey, I just got some brand new wire instructions.
Yeah.
And my agent was like, they did not come from me.
No. And you know, the crazy thing is, we all talk about it. Mm-hmm. And it's on every email. We've got it in bright red. We tell our customers, you guys tell your customers.
We make them sign a piece of paper from the Texas Real Estate Commission about wire.
So I just don't understand. I mean, it makes me a nervous wreck. Every day I worry about it.
Well, and I wonder sometimes, because, I mean, everybody's different. But as you walk someone through a real estate transaction, you build a lot of trust.
Right.
And people very much trust their agents.
I think you're right.
And I think it's easy. We're the easy target for fraudsters to get to our clients, mm-hmm. because we've been working with these people. I mean, in certain phases of a transaction, we can talk to our clients 20 times a day.
Right.
And so there's that rapport. You know, I do think that there's going to be some changes with how, you know, companies that use like Gmail as a platform, or if you've got whatever you have as your email platform, mm-hmm. for your business, I think there's going to have to be some changes there just for security purposes. And maybe it's just that you just can't say it enough. I don't know.
Well, so I was just going to say, I wish Donna was here, because she would be saying, you know, we also tell our people, don't go out and buy furniture and buy a car, and they still do it. So, I mean, I get that, you know, there is a lot in a transaction, and maybe some things just get missed.
Free will.
You know, maybe we need to have a list, and this is number one important, number two important, you know, some of the most important things. I don't know, but.
Well, and I think, too, this is not a dig. Yes, you know, it is a little bit of a dig. I think, too, we've gotten to a phase where COVID brought in so many new agents, mm-hmm. and it also brought in so many different styles of brokerages, that obviously aimed at supporting the consumers, mm-hmm. But they really opened themselves up big time to be available for fraud, because there are folks who are using agents they never actually meet in person. Maybe they talk to you on the phone, but everything's facilitated virtually.
Yeah.
And so that probably makes it a little bit easier, because there's not that connection. Maybe there's not as many conversations. There's a lot of brand new agents out there flailing.
Yeah.
Because either there's not formal training or oversight. And seasoned agents, we actually do talk about this quite a bit, that, you know, when you have to hold the hand of a brand new agent, do you tell the broker, or do you just hold their hand? And I mean, I've had it happen both ways when I was new.
I feel like some of the brokers don't, I don't know that care is the right word, but they're just so big that they don't.
I agree.
They don't know.
I mean, if your broker's in Dallas, it's hard.
Yeah.
And your team leads in Austin. And I mean, I get it. It's, everybody has their own niche and it works the way, but I think that that kind of contributes a little bit too to the ease of fraudsters.
Okay. So I want to go back to something that you said just a minute ago, where you talked about email platforms and security and whatnot, because we have been round and round with this. So I'm always so worried about, you know, hacking and, you know, all the information that we have here and all of that. So we have multiple layers, right? We've got like Zix, which is just the plain, you know, encrypted whatever. But we have two separate services that all they do is watch our email like 3 times a day to see if anybody's knocking on it, is what they call it, right? To come in and try to spoof us. The problem is that we have got ours, I mean, I'm not going to say locked down, but I mean, we have somebody watching it all the time, right? And we have multiple layers, and then we've got firewalls. We got all, you know, all the things, right? The problem is that when I send to my Joe Blow customer, they have nothing, no security on their end at all. So every fraudster is looking, you know, and what do they see when it gets to somebody who has zero security wire instructions? Or, you know, they're seeing, wait a minute, these guys are in a real estate transaction. Let's watch their email.
Right.
That kind of thing. So,
and I don't know that there's, I mean, I'm sure somebody's looking at it or trying to fix the problem, but I don't know.
The problem is that these guys that are looking to fix the problem are up against smarter people who are trying to figure out how to get into whatever it is, whatever their fix is.
Right.
You know, it's like the bad people are just
Talked to a lot of people who are like, was this an inside job? And as I'm saying this, I cannot remember the exact example, but it really did look like, okay, how did this particular situation get hacked? And the general consensus was that it was an inside job.
Yeah.
Which is really scary.
I mean, it is scary.
It's so scary.
It is.
Well, and then you've got, like, the situation that I don't know that I came across actual fraud, but, you know, certain parts of our area are ripe for things like money laundering and stealing your title and buying houses out from under people who aren't paying attention. So I started sticking with the fraud thing. I started looking because I'm kind of fascinated by it, actually. I really am. Mostly because, again, it's that why can't you use your power for good versus the evil? Like, come on, it's got to be exhausting.
Right.
But, so, again, Hill Country is pretty much an insulated situation where we have positive equity. We don't, we're not looking at a scenario where there's going to be a lot of foreclosures and when there's a lot of people in distress. That's really, I mean, they're just ripe for it.
Right.
Places, parts of Florida, obviously certain parts of, what did they say, parts of California, just because of the nature of their economy. But I'm curious, because I don't know what this looks like from a title perspective. When, so say, for instance, a property's purchased, but they don't, like, they take ownership of the property, but they don't pay for title insurance. And then they go to sell it super fast. From the next buyer's perspective, obviously, I never tell anybody to forego title insurance. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I know you and I've had this conversation because I had a person buying a brand spanking new home. And thank goodness you talked me through it, because there's still many things that could go wrong with a brand spanking new home. But so how do we help our clients? Again, there's also the pressure of fast close, fast close, fast close, which is red flags. I mean, in the state of Texas, there's no limitation on how many times you can sell a house within a short period of time. Unless it's an FHA loan, you have to wait 90 days or 91 days. So how does that play out? Like, if somebody who owns the property isn't actually the owner of record yet, and I mean all the things.
Okay, so this is kind of a twofold question. If a house is being purchased and sold within the same week, 2 days, 3 days, we call that a flip, meaning you have got someone who is selling and someone who is buying. Who's that third buyer? We as a title company are always very wary of this, because why do we have that middle guy in there? Are they trying to flip the property? Flip the property means I'm buying it. If I'm the flipper, then I'm in the middle. And I'm trying to buy it, let's say, for $100,000. Then I'm going to flip it because I've got a buyer who's going to pay $200,000.
Yeah.
We, as a title company, we don't like that kind of business right there. It's no good. So there are limitations on what we can and can't insure.
Gotcha.
So that's the first part of that.
Okay.
The second part is, if you've got somebody and we've got threefold like this, and they don't get title insurance that first round, but then they do want title insurance. Okay, so in the state of Texas, title insurance on an owner title policy is always optional. So at any point, you can say you don't want a title policy. So we do have people who send us a contract, act like they're going to get title insurance. We do all the work. We clean everything up. And then at the end, they say, okay, you know what? We're going to reject the title policy. Is that right? Probably not. Am I going to say anything about it? Absolutely not. You know, we just go on. We've cleaned it up and all of that. So we don't, that is certainly not what we advocate. But if you have a lender involved, it right. doesn't work like that.
Right.
Because generally, Texas Department of Insurance regulates that if you are purchasing two policies at the same time, you pay for one and you get the other for $100. Mm-hmm. So if you have to pay for a mortgage title policy, it behooves you to get the owner title policy and then just pay $100. Right. Because generally the seller pays for the policy and then the buyer just pays $100.
Right.
So then everybody's covered. The reason that you want a policy if you are an agent is because if there is no policy, then the only warranty you have is the general warranty mm-hmm. deed, mm-hmm. whether with vendor's lien or without vendor's lien, which means you've got to go back to the seller to get that warranty. And it just does not work as well for your buyer.
Yeah.
The other thing is, so many times, and I think I've told stories about this, about people coming in the closing room and telling me, you know, title insurance is the biggest waste of money. Okay, well, the reason you think it's a big waste of money is because you don't hear about a lot of claims mm-hmm. because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
Right? We go through, you've got an abstract of judgment, you've got all these things. We clean all this up before we insure the property.
Right.
Right? So if you have multiple transactions, whether it be on the same piece of property or different piece of property, and you are not getting title insurance and nobody's looking at those titles, what ends up happening is just a compounding of problems. Mm-hmm. And then when you do get to the point where somebody's like, whoa, now I think I need some title insurance.
Right.
Or, whoa, we've got a lender, so we have to have it insured.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, we've got problems that we've got to clean up from multiple transactions.
Yeah.
And it's stuff, you know, sometimes it's easy. They filed the warranty deed, but they didn't put an exhibit on it. So, what property did they really convey?
Right.
Or...
yeah.
They said it was lot 27 and 28, and the people that were conveyed don't even own 28. So now they've put a cloud on the property yeah. next to them. You yes. know, I mean, there's all these things. And when you go multiple transactions without a title company, inevitably you have multiple things that have to be cleaned up.
Yeah. So with, you said something that made me think of the seasoning of funds that happens for international buyers, or sometimes just because that's what everybody wants, is they want the money to sit in the account for a long time. Is there a seasoning process within the title process that y'all say, hey, look, okay, this property sold super fast. It's going to have to season for mm-hmm. a little bit for us to do
well,
this.
Okay. So in the example I gave previously, which was the flip,
mm-hmm.
if everybody in the transaction knows what's happening, we can close it a day apart, right? Yeah. Because the current seller and the middle buyer and the final buyer all have to sign a document that says, hey, we all know this is going to be a flip. And then what we can do is we can take the policy that the first seller was going to give to our middle buyer.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of giving it to our middle buyer, we skip that middle buyer and give it to our permanent okay. buyer, right? Uh-huh. So it saves everybody money, but everybody has to know what's going on in that
gotcha.
Transaction.
Gotcha.
And then we don't really call it a flip. We just call it, you know, we're just selling it multiple times.
Gotcha.
Right? A flip is when nobody wants anybody to know and there's, I'm not saying, you know, that's not truly fraud. It's not, but it's some middle guy trying to make money where, you know, everything's not above board. We don't like, you know, we don't get involved in that. We will right. say, no, we can't insure that. So that is the first thing when you've got a flip like that.
Well, and in my mind, I started thinking, okay, if I have a cash buyer, the first thing I do is I call Ashley and ask her how quickly can we close?
Right.
Because I don't want to put in inaccurate. I don't want to put 4 days in that contract when that's a totally unrealistic
right.
thing.
Let's talk about, you said seasoning.
Yes.
So I talked about flips, but what I didn't talk about was foreclosures.
Mm.
Those are a different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know this, but there are multiple types of foreclosures. And really yeah. and truly, I know just enough to be dangerous with all of this because things are done differently if it is a foreclosure versus a sheriff's fire sale
yeah.
versus a foreclosure based on taxes. There's multiple different types.
Gotcha.
And we will never, ever insure out of that first transaction, the foreclosure process. Okay.
Okay.
You're not going to be able to get title insurance on that. Now, once you have purchased it through the fire sale, through the sheriff's auction, whatever it is that you were getting it from, that next transaction we will insure. But there's all sorts of caveats on it. So do not ever think I'm going to go buy this on the courthouse steps or at the sheriff's auction or whatever, and then I'm going to sell it the week after and be able to get title insurance on it, because there are all sorts of things that have to happen. Gotcha. Sometimes it is that easy. Sometimes everything is gone and they can provide all the proof that everything was done. I mean, because there is multiple things that have to happen. Notices that have to be. I mean, it is a thing, a right. big thing.
Yeah.
And if everything was done correctly, sometimes we can, maybe not in a week, but, you know, in a normal
right.
process, be able to insure it. But more, well, maybe not more often, 50-50.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are so many things that they don't have that haven't gone right that, you know, whatever, that we say, okay, no. Now you're going to have to wait 2 years, or you've got to wait, you know, however long for it to be seasoned. I don't think that's really the term that's used. But we say, look, we're not willing to insure until a certain amount of time has gone by
yes.
to make sure that nobody comes forward to try to make claim on it.
So do you ever have people who purchase a property and then after the fact get title insurance? Or is it only during a sale?
No, you can okay. come to us and get title insurance anytime. Now, are we going to do our due diligence and make sure everything's okay? And if it's not, say, no, we're not insuring this?
So then absolutely. What do you do?
Well, so
it just doesn't have insurance.
Yeah,
they purchased. Just,
gotcha. Right. So they own a piece of property, and when they get ready to sell it, they find a title company who cleans up all the messes or whatever.
Gotcha.
And sometimes the title company says, you know what, you've got to wait, you know, 90 days, or you've got to yeah. wait. Here is a good example. So let's say that you build a house for cash. Okay. So yeah. when you purchase a lot, mm-hmm. right, then you have a title policy for the face value of the purchase price of the lot.
Yeah.
Let's say $100,000. Now you're going to build a $1 million home on that $100,000 lot. So if you are not borrowing money, then you do not purchase title insurance. You don't come back to me at
gotcha.
That point. So you go through, you build this big old house, and you only have $100,000 worth of coverage on $1.1 million worth of your money.
Yeah.
So we tell people, if after you have finished construction, you have to wait 90 days.
Yeah.
And then after the 90 days, you come to us, and then we will give you title insurance. And
gotcha.
We will either use, you know, if you've got an appraised value, if the tax office has appraised it at that point, because we can't just pick a number out of the air
right.
for title insurance. We have to be able to prove to Texas Department of Insurance that we have insured, you know, at least as best as we can,
yeah.
close to what the value is.
Yeah.
And then we say, okay, after the 90 days, then we'll issue a policy.
Gotcha.
So you can get title insurance anytime.
Gotcha.
If we're willing to do it.
Right. Right. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, there have been very few times in my 26 years where I've said I can't insure it, but there have been a couple of times.
Well, and it's just interesting because, I mean, I've had a lot of interesting things pop up this year, as have so many others.
I know.
It's been really, like, what?
It's been something.
It has. But this was just a scenario that really kind of, there were so many red flags with this. But yeah, it had me scratching my head, and I really didn't know that it was worth my clients putting in the effort to try and figure out what was going on. Yeah, I don't know.
And that's part of it. You know, when it smells like fraud, looks yes. like fraud, you know, quacks
like
fraud.
A duck,
yeah,
like a duck. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's so true. If you get that icky feeling, I mean, sometimes it's best just to go on to the next whatever, because
yeah.
I don't know. Okay, so I've got a couple more. So we've talked about wire fraud. One thing that I want to say, a caveat to all this, I have so many people who come in and they're selling their property and they're like, look, you know, and we're sitting at the closing table, right? Look, I don't want you to wire the money. I'm scared of wire fraud, blah, blah, blah. If we are sitting together face to face, there can't be any wire fraud because you are giving me your check or you're writing them down. Right? We don't have fraudsters, knock on wood, in my office doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It is when it goes out on the internet,
yes.
you know, that the fraudsters come out to play.
I mean, I've even had clients who gave me their bank instructions so that we could double verify it
yes.
with Ashley, like
yes.
do the whole thing because they were so nervous.
Yes, yeah. yes. So if you are coming into the office, or if you are signing your documents and putting your wire instructions into FedEx and they're being FedExed back, if they are not going out over the internet, then, you know, we're good. That
yeah.
the internet is what creates the fraud.
Damn internet.
Damn internet. I know. That's
I
so
know.
True. Okay. So we've talked about all the wire fraud. Yeah. Let's talk about the seller impersonation fraud. And yeah. I get so many phone calls. I saw this on the late infomercial middle of the night. I don't know what these people are doing up at 3 a.m. Somebody's stealing my title. It's happening right now.
Real estate. And sometimes your clients like to text you at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Perfect.
Turn your phone off.
Okay, so I was talking about this the other day because every state does title insurance differently. Mm-hmm. So when you were talking about somebody's, you know, stealing my title and all of that, this is generally not Texas that they're talking about. And whoever I was talking to, it may have been you. I don't know.
I mean, I've had somebody call me and try and impersonate the seller.
Yes. Okay. So those are going to be my two stories.
Yeah.
Because we have got that going on literally right this second. Oh, is happening on a couple of different pieces of property. And so I'll tell you the phone calls I've gotten and what's happened with all of it. But as far as that infomercial, if you have a house and you are living in that house,
yeah.
How would somebody sell it out from under you? You know, I mean, not that it couldn't happen, I guess, but I've never heard of that. You know, that would be...
We hear the stories, and maybe they're just not in Texas, but we hear the stories.
Oh, yes. I, as well.
It's like,
but Texas is just different because we have appraisers. We have, you know, agents that go out. I mean, if you are living in a home, how are they going to bring in an appraiser? How are they going to bring in an inspector? Those kind of things.
It's those cash. It's no cash. No inspector, no nothing.
I still don't see how you would get all the way through the process.
So I'm curious, too, if it has a little bit, like, because right now there's a lot of, not get-rich-quick schemes, but these investors with deep pockets.
Right.
And sometimes those deep pockets, it's not American money.
Yeah.
It's international money. And then, you've got this person who wants to invest in real estate, and you've got this other person who knows, this person probably isn't paying enough attention to what's going on or doesn't have a clue whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're right. Maybe the people aren't necessarily living in the house, but it's got an owner.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times of the elderly who,
right.
Before the family can get there to do anything with it, that they find a way to impersonate the seller,
mm-hmm.
get the investor on the hook. They're paying cash. There's no inspection. Yeah. There's no appraisal. There's no nothing. And then magically, somehow you've lost that property.
Yeah.
I can see how it's possible, which
it's
is
crazy.
Unfortunate.
So this flows right into the seller impersonations mm-hmm. that I have had phone calls on.
Yeah.
But it's always raw land. And it's always yes. The sellers do not live here. They live in some other state.
Mine was in Canada.
Yeah.
Owned the lot since 1982.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I had a phone call from an agent the other day, and she's like, hey, you know, I've got this. It just seems a little bit weird. He's, you know, the seller's pushing me hard to get this on the market and
yes.
wants to sell it real quick and blah, blah, blah. And so what do you think? And I'm like, well, I don't really know. And you know what? Let me just look and see if I've ever closed this property. Well, guess what?
Oh, hot dog.
And so I just called. I called him and I was like, hey, this is Ashley Pfeiffer from Kendall County Abstract. And he's like, hey, what are you doing? I mean, like, why are you calling me? I had a phone call from an agent, you know, and she said that she had a phone call from you about, you know, listing this property. He's like, I'm not selling my property.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And get this. At the same time that this fraudster contacted an agent here in Bernie, they contacted one in Kerrville. They contacted one in San Antonio, all on the same piece.
Wow.
Yes, yes. So these fraudsters are just hitting it hard. All at the same time.
So it was a few podcasts ago where you talked about contacting the courthouse and basically putting a block on your property. This is my word. That's not even remotely correct.
No. So funny that you should say something about that because
okay.
I called the courthouse and got all the scoop and I went in and did it on my own property so I could walk y'all through it.
Let's do it. Because
okay, are you ready?
I'd like to do it. I think everybody, I'm just going to say our unsolicited advice
okay.
is to just put your house like... Do it.
Yeah. Okay. It's easy. I mean, literally from somebody who just did it. All right. Here's what you do. You go on to KendallCountyTX.gov. Okay. And when you type that in, it brings up the Kendall County website.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're going to see all the different things. At the top little bar has got a bunch of options. I think the second option is government.
Okay.
Okay. Click government. When you click government, it's going to offer you a whole bunch of different things, and one of them is county clerk. So everybody knows the county clerk is who records all of the documents
yes.
for the conveyances, the everything for real property in Kendall County.
Yeah.
Okay, so you click on county clerk. Then you click on official records. And when you click, so it's got a little thing that says official records, and when you try to click on it, you can't. It's right underneath it that it says County Clerk's Office Records Online. When you click that, yes. So you just have to know, when you click that, it comes up, and on the top right, very top right bar, it says Property Alert. And when you click on that, you have to set up an account.
That's
Don't
fine.
Be scared. It was easy.
All right.
I put in my email address.
They have your information anyway.
Yeah. Well, actually, they really did have mine because I already had an account set up. But it would be easy to set it up. They were like, we know you. Come on in.
Yes, exactly.
So you set up your account, and then it asks you to confirm your search. So I put in, you know, ashley@kcac.net as my email.
Yeah.
And then I put that anything recorded for Ashley Pfeiffer, I was going to get an alert. And so I did it, and it all went through. I got my verification email, and immediately I thought, oh my God, what if everything I notarize, I get an alert on?
Oh, well, that was a cow laugh. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, I didn't think that through. So, podcast, I may tell y'all how to go in and remove yourself from alerts.
Exactly. So, what we'll do is on Facebook, we'll put the information for that so that people can go back and
do it.
Walk themselves through.
It really, guys, I'm not kidding you. It was not hard at all.
Yeah.
And, like, I got the little verification email that says I was going to get the alerts and the whole nine yards. So, we'll see.
Well, and I just think it's a tool, and it's...
What's better than nothing, which is what we've got right now.
It's like the insurance you buy for your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Who, I mean, I don't know, well, for my children, yes, we've used it, but...
Oh,
like,
my husband, he runs over his, he's laying in the tailgate,
that was
he
a
dropped
bad
it
example.
In the ice chest. This was, yeah, you just took
I
me
did.
Down a road.
That was a terrible example. But whatever it is you pay for that you're like, I'm never going to use this. But no, I think it's very smart. I will make myself a note to do some research if that's an option that's available in, like, Comal and Kerr County and Gillespie County, because I know so many people who own property all over the place. And
my understanding is all of the courthouses are doing this. And I did not realize, so I actually called and talked to the girls over at the courthouse so I could get all the scoop, you know, and so I asked them how to do it, and they, you know, told me and actually kind of walked me through it and all of that, which, so that I could walk y'all through it, but I did not realize this is a fraud service that they use. So that's good. And so my guess would be, if you can figure out where in all of those counties to go to, you're going to have to go to the county clerk. We know that.
Right.
So where it is on their web page or whatever, I think almost all of them have it now.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, my heart kind of broke when, I mean, we all hear the stories, but when it's in your inbox, it hits a little differently.
Right.
I had what looked like a legitimate lead from one of the big websites. And the person, they stayed in correspondence with me for quite a while until it got to the point where I sent an email that says, I cannot verify that this email address is legitimately attached to the seller of this property. And I never heard from them again.
Yeah.
And I fear they'd reached out to somebody else.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, so as soon as all this happened with this one that I just told the story on, you know, where he said, no, I'm not selling it, emailed, you know, lots of people just saying, hey, just FYI, this is going on. This property is not supposed to be on the market.
You know,
that kind of, and when I say people, I mean just, you know, some of the title companies that I deal with around here and in Kerrville, you know, because one of the agents was in Kerrville.
Yes.
And so, you know, I mean, it takes a village like anything else. And if I hear about fraud going on, I let everybody know and they do the same.
Well, and when you said that, it made me think. So one of the things that's popping up is the use of AI and how it's unfortunately.
Well, so these people that contacted this agent sent driver's licenses with the correct, it wasn't the right pictures, but it was right age demographic, right all of that. So is AI creating these driver's licenses? Where are these fake driver's licenses coming from?
That, like, where'd your child get a fake driver's license?
Well,
I don't know.
What am I saying? Oh, man. I know right where those came from.
I'm saying it as if, like, where'd my child get a fake? I don't know. Everyone's child has a fake. I know it.
And if you think your child does it, think again.
Oh, yes.
My child would never. Oh, yes, they would.
Please, there's a special group for y'all. The My Child Would Never group. That's another podcast.
Yeah.
That's the other one.
I'm always like, my child would. I know my child would.
I'd be like, maybe.
So I will tell you that we have some software that we, along with the same company that does some of our email monitoring or whatever, they have got some services for fraud where you can scan in driver's licenses and it will tell you if they're good or not good.
That's fantastic.
Yes, and it really is. And it will also tell you the email address if it is being spoofed. Uh-huh. You know, like, so when I of course did myself first because I love that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And the first thing it said was that, yes, I passed, right? Because there's like 12 markers for if I am who I say I am. But the one that I did not pass was my email address because it said my email address was coming out of Houston, not out of Bernie, Texas. But that's because we have a cloud service that is based in Houston.
Yes.
And then also, you know, we're backed up in 3 different states and it did not like that it could see all of that happening.
Oh, but you know, still, what a great tool.
Exactly. Exactly. Well,
and I think as AI, as we get farther into AI, yes, it's going to be used for bad because there's bad people. But I mean, AI is not one of those tools that's going to overtake our industry. And I mean, I think there's a lot of trepidation in other industries where the whole entire process is AI driven, where, you know, with our stuff, it's like, okay, what's that commercial? AI change these brakes, AI build this fence.
Yeah.
I'm like, AI, please deal with this person's crappy attitude so we can get this house sold. It's not going to happen.
AI, come in and do this closing for me so I can stay in my pajamas and not happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
AI, negotiate this contract.
Yeah.
With someone on the other side who doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that they'll come up with new and interesting ways to try and fraud the system. Sadly, we're just a community that's also ripe for money laundering.
Mm-hmm.
So we all just need to be on the lookout.
Yes, absolutely.
Because Bravo's coming and, you know, the rich people live here.
Of course. Yes,
they do. How are we on time, Ashley?
I think we're about out of time.
Uh-oh.
I know, it's sad.
Did it again.
It just goes by so fast. I don't know.
It does.
Okay, so tell them where they can email us.
Okay, so we're at closingtable@gmail.com, and we're at The Closing Table on Facebook. And again, I'm going to make myself a little note to go in and just put this in some of the information that we talked about today on Facebook. So if people want to go and find it, we're also at Closing Table on Instagram. And I'm sure everybody knows where to find us.
Yep. Ashley at Kendall County Abstract.
And Ariel at HC Home and Land. So we are happy to answer anybody's questions if they want to send us direct messages through Facebook or send us an email. But I think that there was some, I mean, Ashley's definitely provided some good information with how to protect your property and just being on the lookout and, you know, all this stuff just gives us more to talk about and jump down rabbit holes and all the things.
And I'm excited to say that the putting yourself on for alerts at the courthouse was not difficult. You know, sometimes you tell people, oh, it's going to be so easy. And then you go in there and you're like, oh yeah, no, this is not easy. But I really thought that it was
good.
And maybe user-friendly is not the right word, but if you know exactly where to click each step, pretty good.
I might totally contradict what she just said when I go try to do it myself.
Right? You know, don't you hate that?
Like, she's a liar, people. She has no idea what she's doing.
This was so hard.
Forget it.
All right. Well, until next time.
All right.
Always fun.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening to At the Closing Table with Ariel and Ashley. Make sure to follow us on social media at The Closing Table. And if you want to listen to any of our previous podcasts, open the Reggae Rocks app and click on the podcast tab. Until next time, we'll see you at The Closing Table.